Amen. Boy, that was wonderful. You're going to see in a moment why I said that's what I'm going to teach. Let's turn to Galatians, the Epistle of Galatians, please. We just finished up last week. Family camp and took a look at the books of Corinthians. You know, our culture, really in many ways, is not much different than the culture at Corinth. Really. And with all the things that are dealt with in the books of Corinthians, the one thing that you see and that we saw is how that they were reminded over and over again of who they were in Christ. That they were righteous, they were redeemed, they were called saints. And there were things that, you know, were dealt with, things that needed to be addressed with these saints, but they were who they were in Christ. It's really something. The world tends to identify us by what we do. Typically, isn't that typically the first question when you meet somebody? What do? It's interesting. And that's how the world identifies us. They identify us by what we do. And it really morphs over into other things. You know, the type of house you own, all these kinds of things, the kind of car you drive, the kind of clothes you wear. Even our kids. You know, we say to our kids, and think about this, it's just, you know, it's kind of an example of the degradation of words, in a way. We say to our kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? What we really mean is, in our culture, is what do you want to do when you grow up? Isn't that something? As opposed to what you want to be, you know? It's just, that's how it is. And when you think about the misery that is wrought in so many lives because of this very thing. I see it with our younger folks in the stress of trying to figure out what they want to be, which is really a lie. What they're really stressing over is, what do they want to do? Or they need to get to the right college. They've got to get the right education. Because without an education, you are nothing. You ever hear that? All of these are lies. But they are lies that have been so pounded into our thinking and into our culture, they are very difficult to overcome. Even for those who know the truth of God's word, they're difficult to overcome. It becomes a challenge because this is pounded into us from the time we're young. It becomes a challenge to overcome the ways in which the world identifies us. And it becomes how we identify ourselves. Isn't that sad? It's a bummer. Because we're going to see that all of that is fraud. All of it's fraud. Who you are has nothing to do with the car you drive or the education that you have or the job that you do. It has nothing whatever to do with it. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I'm not trying to sell something here. That's the truth. It's not just a belief. It's the truth. And whether I believe it or not, it's the truth. Isn't that something? Doesn't matter if I believe it. It's the truth. Once I've believed on Jesus Christ, see, that's who I am. That's what I am. Now, I have an opportunity as a saint, as a holy one, as a son of God, as one who's been set free, as one who's forgiven, as one who's redeemed, as one who's righteous, to get to know and to get to see what I've been made in Christ and then believe it. Isn't that awesome? And to get free from this world and its thinking. World didn't think much of Jesus Christ, did they? Yeah, but he's the Son of God. Right? World killed him. God got him up from the dead. Right? Absolutely. The world mocks Jesus Christ and hates Jesus Christ, but you know what? Jesus Christ is coming back. He is. He is. And when he comes back, he's coming back with a whole lot of power. Whole lot of power. Okay. Those things are true. These are true. Whether they're believed or not, they're true. And they will absolutely happen. Isn't that something? Yeah. That's right. We identify not in what we do or achieve, but in what Jesus Christ has done and what he's achieved for us. Galatians chapter 4. I told you we'd get there eventually. Here we are. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time... When the fullness of time was come, you know, in Romans, it's in due time, at the right time, right? Christ died for the ungodly. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? Sons or sonship. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And of a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Isn't that something? We are heirs of God. We're heirs of God. That's true. That's who we are. That's how we see ourselves. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to come back here in a little bit, I think. But for right now, I want to read verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the what?
Righteousness.
The righteousness of God in him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Boy, we could look at an awful lot of verses this morning. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, and this is referring back to some of these things that are mentioned back in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. What did we just read? Where we've been made the what?
Righteousness.
The righteousness of God in him. Isn't that something? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, but we've been made the righteousness in him. And we've been made the righteousness in him by what? By what he did. See? God made him to be sin for us. Isn't that something? So, we've been made because we've believed on Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God in him. And then it says, Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, or revilers. Extraneous or not, this isn't good stuff. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 6. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were. Now, were some of these things still going on in Corinth?
Yes.
Well, yeah. That's some of what was being addressed. See? But that was no longer who they were. Isn't that something? It's no longer what they were. From whose viewpoint?
God's.
From God's viewpoint. See? And here's why. And here's the reason, right here. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You've been set apart. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See? Isn't that something? Justified by what? By Spirit. See? By the Spirit of God. That's what sanctified us. That's why they were no longer those things, because they had the Spirit of God. They were sons of God, like we read in Galatians. Look at Romans chapter 8. There's a reason why these are the types of things we hear so often in manifestations, over and over and over again. And I don't think it's due to bad memory. I think it's due to the world in which we live. In verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors. Through Him that loved us. That's something. We're more than conquerors. See? That's who we are. That's what we've been made. And ultimately, all will be conquered. All will be conquered. And by all, I mean all these things that are listed. See? All these things. We've been made more than conquerors. In who? In Christ. Because we believed on Him. That's who you are. That's who you are. You know? You're not a welder. You are a son of God who happens to weld in this temporary life. And it's just a splash. Who and what we are will not be fully revealed until such time as is promised in God's Word, which is when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Isn't that something? See? So right now, we do things. We do things. And our heart in doing what we do is not to impress, is not to be identified in such a way or to garner admiration. Rather, we want to get to the place where we do what we do so that we can have to what?
Give.
Yeah, have to give. Isn't that something? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We can look at a few more here. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 10. We're saying about this morning. And you are complete. You are complete in Him. You're completely filled. You lacking anything?
No.
No. If you feel like you're lacking something, is it true?
No.
No. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the flesh, is what it should read, I believe. Yeah, that phrase of the sins of the sins is not in any critical Greek text, not even one. In putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the believing of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Do you believe that God got Jesus Christ up from the dead?
Yes.
There you go. That's something. See? You know, we are complete. We're completely filled in him. And this is what we want to become familiar with. You know, these things, these truths, we become familiar with who we are, and then we believe it. Romans chapter 6. We're just going to read a couple more. Romans 6. Like I said, there's a lot of places we could go. We could read this whole chapter. Romans 6. Verse 4 says, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. That's a phrase that it basically means that when we believed on Jesus Christ, that all that was accomplished in his dying was accomplished for us. So it's as if we also died. Do you understand? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of what? Newness of life. If you go down to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin, is how it should read, but alive unto God in Jesus Christ, is how it should read. Verse 11. But alive unto God in Jesus Christ. Newness of life. That's who we are. We have newness of life because of Spirit. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, I think it is. Those of you who are a family camp should remember this verse. Behold, the new has what? The new's come. We're a new creation. Right? We're a new creation in Christ. Let's read it. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, and it should read, the new is come. We're a new creation in Christ. In Romans, we just read, we walk in newness of life. We walk as one who has been raised from the dead. That's who we are. See? In Christ. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. You know, we won't turn there. I can just talk about this because I think you're very familiar with these records. But do you remember the record Peter and John when they healed the man at the temple gate? Well, they healed this man that had been born lame. He was 40 years old, a little bit more than 40 years old. And he got healed instantly. And he jumped and leaped and, you know, jumping and leaping and praising God. Which is pretty cool. I guess, right? That's kind of like the normal reaction to something like that. But what happened is that word got out about what had happened. And Peter and John were teaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it got this got back to the religious leaders. And they weren't happy about it. They weren't happy about it at all. So they put him in prison. And then the next day they brought him before the religious leaders and questioned him. But there's a statement in that record where it says, They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And it says, and they marveled. Yeah. They were unlearned and ignorant men. And what that meant is, they didn't have the degrees. They didn't have the schooling. They didn't have the achievements. They didn't have the plaques on their office wall. That's what that means. They didn't go to the right college. They didn't sit under the right teacher. Got it? They didn't hang with the right people. As a matter of fact, they hung with that Jesus. They noted that too, that they'd been with this Jesus. See, isn't that something? And yet it says they marveled. You know, those two are among two that Jesus Christ said, when I come back, you're going to sit on thrones and you're going to judge Israel. Unlearned and ignorant men. Who were they really? See, that's right. They were sons of God operating the power of God. That's who they were. That's who they were. See, it wasn't about them. It was about Christ. Why look ye on us as if by our own godliness that we made this man to walk? See, now, isn't that cool? Then there's another man on the total opposite end of the spectrum. Had all the education. Had all the achievements. Hell, he was educated by Gamaliel. That's like Harvard Law School. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a hotshot. He was an up-and-comer. He was the kind of guy that you wanted to hang with. He was the kind of guy that you wanted to be associated with. And yet he says, I count it all dung that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Isn't that something? You get it? See, who are you? Who are you? See? 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and then it should read, and we are. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. The world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doesn't yet appear. It hasn't yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. For we will see him as he is. What we are has not been fully revealed yet. But we are sons of God when?
Now.
Right now. Right now, that's who we are. And the world didn't like him, the world doesn't like us. The world will never come around to identifying us as in Christ. Let the world identify you however they choose. It makes no difference. What is important is how you identify you. Do you understand? In accepting and believing what God's word says. The world, for the most part, will identify you by what you do and your achievements. Okay? Some who consider themselves to be more noble will identify you by your character. We identify ourselves by neither. We point to him. We identify ourselves in Christ. See? Philippians chapter 2, and then we're going to close in Hebrews. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that beautiful? No condition there, nothing. No prerequisites other than having spirit that you believed on Jesus Christ. And it's God that works in you. You're not the same anymore. You're a new creation. You've got the spirit of God in you. It's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse age. The word nation is the word age. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. And then it says holding, and it should read, holding the word. It's not holding forth. The word for holding here is to pay attention to, take heed to hold. See? We hold the word. We get to know who we are. And that's what we hold. And when we do that, we shine as lights in the world. Now, will the world always appreciate that? No. But there will be some who will. And let's close in Hebrews 10. So we hold the word. And then this great little verse here in Hebrews chapter 10. You know, it's at verse 19. We looked at this in family camp. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Isn't that something? That blood of Jesus by a new and what?
Living.
Yet it was blood that he shed in his death. But what that blood accomplished, what his sacrifice accomplished, is ongoing. Isn't that something? It never stops. Then it goes down here in verse 23, and this is what I want to get to. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the confession of our, and the word faith should be the word hope, without wavering. Isn't that beautiful? For he is faithful that promised. See, we hold fast the profession or the confession, that which we profess regarding our hope. Because he is coming back. That's truth. See? And that's when our life, that's where our life is hid, it says in Colossians. And that is when our lives and what we are will be fully revealed. See? But in the meantime, we identify ourselves with who and what we are in Christ. And don't get tempted, or you'll get tempted, but don't bite on identifying yourselves as the world does. See, we build the word, we hold the word, we confess the word, we identify ourselves as God identifies us, and we identify one another as God identifies us. See, understood?
Yep.
All right, that's what we want to do, that's what we want to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.